Afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Hello. Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Friday, April 22nd, 2022. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. I'd like to remind everyone RBN is listener-supported. Please donate whatever is manageable. You can use PayPal right on the RBN website donate page. You can also call our RBN staff to donate via credit or debit card. Call in to donate at 800-724-2719, extension 3. Or you can always mail in that donation, folks. Cash, check, money order, payable to RBN. Mailing address 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And we greatly appreciate it, folks. You know, free speech is not something we can even expect to exist in this day and age without being funded by we, the people. So please help ensure RBN continues broadcasting uncensored content well into the future. Now, this being Friday, I have the Beyond the Official Narrative Roundtable. We have a full panel roundtable for you folks once again. And no shortage of participants, heavy hitters as usual. We have Stephen Douglas Whitener here with us. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Richard. Hello, RBN, fellow thought criminals, listeners. It's happy Friday, everybody. And glad to be here.
We have Paul Edward Stevenson from across the pond in London. Hello, Paul.
Hello, can you hear me, Richard?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, good to be with you all.
Hello, Paul.
Good to have you. Always good to have you here, Paul. And we have William Repillum here today for the roundtable, folks. Hello, William.
Hello, Richard. Hello, Stephen. Hello, Paul. It's good to be on with you guys today and everybody out there in RBN land.
Absolutely. I second that. Always good to have all you gentlemen here with me. And my first question for you folks, so what do you think the deal is with Elon? You know, Elon Musk, is he a good guy, a bad guy? Is the jury still out on that one, perhaps? I mean, he's into this whole neural uplink, you know, to the cloud. I mean, he supports all this neural technology. And I don't trust that as far as I can throw the people working on the research. Honestly, I mean, so the fact that he's into us all becoming cyborgs is something that, I don't know, makes me question, you know, how much he really cares about free speech and free will regarding this attempt to buy Twitter, this offer to buy now directly from the shareholders Twitter. He does sound very unsure, but William, you said that just maybe sounds like he's humble, you know, that the way he speaks, he doesn't sound like a very good speaker. And some could interpret that as lack of confidence, but nonetheless, he presents himself like he cares about free speech and the future of humanity. And we're at a crossroads. This is a very important time to maintain that free speech with big tech in the way we have. I mentioned this yesterday. Greenwald is out there saying former Intel officials, okay, former Intel officials citing Russia are out there saying big tech monopoly power is vital to national security. You know, so that's the narrative that we're supposed to believe. We had a group of former intelligence and national security officials this past Monday issuing a joint signed letter warning impending legislative attempts to restrict or break up the power of big tech monopolies, Facebook, Google, Amazon, would jeopardize national security because, they argue, these centralized censorship powers are crucial to advancing U.S. foreign policy. And I mean, that will be the final push to. But yeah, now people are already out in the open saying, no, big tech monopolies, of course, they're monopolies, but they need to be that way. It's for the greater good. And we have Elon over here, and I don't know. Maybe let's pass it overseas first to Paul. Hey, Paul, what's your thought on Elon Musk wanting to buy Twitter, acting like he cares about free speech?
Well, the first thoughts that come to mind with Elon Musk is I'd dearly love to have his money. the second one. I'm not convinced he wants to buy Twitter. I think he's got a history of pumping and dumping, and I'm not sure he can afford it. And that might sound like a weird thing, but he just put a bid in. He said he's put an extra bid in for $46.4 billion. Now that's a lot of liquidity, and most of I know he's not short on some cash because he sold a lot of Tesla stock last year, but. What's he worth? Something like, is it $250 billion or something? But most of that's in overblown Tesla stock, and it's in those stocks. And if he was to sell Tesla stock to buy Twitter, the Tesla stock would no doubt drop in price. As soon as Elon Musk sends a tweet about anything, you know, that he's interested in, the share price shoots up, and he invariably has. Shares in those companies, he gets laws. He's had lawsuits against him, which is tiny in comparison to the money he's made from the pumping and then the dumping. So I don't think he's bothered about getting sued if the same thing happens with him with Twitter. But he's already made money from this whole thing with Twitter, or from the share price shooting up. I don't know. I mean, maybe he has the liquidity. He said he's raised the money, but you know he's had to borrow some of that money, and I'm just not convinced. That he does. I think he has a lot of fun with these things, and I think he makes a lot of money on them, and he gets a chance to expand his influence, and he gets everyone excited. But I think he does believe in free speech. I don't really know that much about him. I don't follow that much, but what I do follow. About him, he's been on Joe Rogan, and I don't think you're that part of the establishment if you're on Joe Rogan. But at the same time, if someone like Musk started throwing his weight around and was a real threat to the establishment, he would get the JFK treatment. That's the reality. He's not that big. People say, oh, he's the richest man in the world. Well, is he? I mean, I think there's probably some Jewish fellows out there who might have a few more billions kicking around than Elon Musk. But I think probably his heart's in the right place and he can afford to have fun with these things. But I'd be surprised if he ends up buying Twitter.
Okay, but you think his heart's in the right place? William, I don't know. Do you want to take it from there?
Oh man, we got to talk about this again. Elon Musk. All right. Well, so I really like Paul's comments. I thought they were really super smart, apt comments. The financial aspect of what he's doing, I guess. But maybe I'll take a little bit different take on it. Right now, because I don't really have a solid opinion about it. But, anytime they talk about national security, I'll back off and go bird's eye for a second. Just know that it's talking about keeping the Jews from being discovered. That's what national security means. That is all it means. When it comes out of the TV and it says national security concern, that's all it is. It has nothing to do with keeping us safe. Quite the opposite. If Elon Musk is part of the establishment and he's trying to wire our brains up to the cloud, I do support the fact that he's saying that free speech is We need to promote free speech, and you know, can't help but support that. At least that's a step in the right direction, despite all the other contexts that we're in with this. Yeah, I lost my thought. So I don't know. That's
Steven?
I'd echo what you said, William, that when they say national security, you ask whose nation and whose security, and you just hit them with that right cross red pill. But there you go. You know, same thing, same difference, I guess. It is kind of a big show with Elon. I had not ever heard this or thought of him in this way before, but while y'all were talking, I was remembering the 1975 movie Rollerball, I think it was, and the character in there was just rising up above, you know, I mean, he was a big hero to people and stuff, and they had to shut him down. It just the parallels between Elon being such a star and that the things in that film and were just, you know, that was in hit my mind while y'all were talking. And the jury's still out on him whether he's a, you know, to what extent he's doing his own thing and is in control. I mean, all that much money, he's got a lot of sway, you know. And I like Paul said, there's so many people with more money. If he ever did threaten their power in any way, then they just smack him down. That's happened to JFK, and I mean, it could, you know, that's sad reality we live in. I agree. And yeah, that's my take on Elon. Before I toss it back, I wanted to thank the person, whoever checking out the freespeakradio.com and said they heard it here too. It's great to know that we have some listeners of like mind out there. And I, you know, I'm new to that happening. So I wanted to say that, and I'll toss it back to you, Richard.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess we don't have to exhaust the whole show with Elon Musk. How about this this new loved rabbi of the World Economic Forum, Yuval Noah Harari? And this guy's something else, isn't he? I mean, he really it's no exaggeration to say he has a god complex. He seems to denounce all spirituality, this rabbi.
Well, he's a rabbi.
Yeah, can't pass go from that one, huh?
Claims to be getting divine power. I saw that the surveillance state is going under your skin. That's creepy. I had a message from someone earlier about, when we were discussing the Twitter and the Elon thing, that was talking with that. And then once they went on, they said that they probably have a Internet of Things and Internet of Bodies technology that's already planned to supersede that anyway. And you know, that's what's in their mind. Apparently this guy, he says we're hackable creatures. Now we're not immortal souls was what I think the way he put it.
Hackable animals.
Oh, hackable animals. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So he might as well say Goyim, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Mm. So,
it's so wonderful. I guess humanity has this voice to lead us and make the best judgments for all of humanity. I guess we should be thanking him, you know, and Claus, of course, for helping him to be more well known. But yeah, we've had like all kinds of people.
We should thank them. They have this philosophy called. We should thank them for immigration. They think we should thank them for everything.
Right. For a second, you were choppy, but then it looks like you cleared up there. Obama was complimenting him, complimenting his book. We heard some past clips of that. And, you know, yeah, a lot of these people act like he's just, you know, the wonder boy for the New World Order and for transhumanism. You know, but he seems to just suggest that free will should no longer exist for the good of humanity. It's part of his shtick, I guess you could call it, his
okay.
his slant angle on this is that we our free will doesn't really exist, that we're already hackable. He doesn't make clear whether we have that, even without that implant chip yet, or that you can be influenced. But, you know, you hear about, you know, DARPA technology, and you hear about HARP technology, you hear about 5G potentially having all of this ability, especially with the with the hydrogel in these shots. You know, could we already be, and even just the amount you get influenced by commercials, you know, and just how everything's presented in films and television, the casting, the critical race theory and LGBT popularity in the script writing, you know, everything's so subtle. And I mean, in so many ways, though, anything that he suggests the average person does, it's because they've been influenced by everything around them. I think that's some of how he's saying we don't have free will, but it seems to suggest it'll go even further. You know, I don't know if this will be due to the chip that people would actually get implanted, or something more subtle, like you hear, yeah, these claims of 5G, and who's to say? Paul?
I was going to say he would know, but that's, they spent the last century talking about it in their synagogues, so that's the idea, to get us influenced by everything around them that they control.
I find it interesting how a rabbi is so open about being like this anti-spiritual. Just, you know, he suggested, oh, you know, this notion that there being a god, a divine power making decisions, that's over. You know, he decided there's no god, and so we should all accept it and do what he says. You know, that's pretty much what he's telling us, what I got from his speeches.
Well, there are a lot of sects of Judaism where this is, a, you know, surprising to people, but they're atheists. People can't get their head around it, but that's because, you know, you don't understand, you know, even back in Jesus's time, the Pharisees believed in an afterlife, but the Sadducees didn't. And a lot of modern day, you know, rabbis and people who, you know, would attend the synagogues and things, we think they're in there praying to God, and a lot of them are atheists because they worship themselves, is the point.
Yeah. Yeah, they think they're God. They think they invented God, and they think they control God.
So, yeah, like, so this guy's just been more honest.
Yeah, you William? See it pervade. Like, I'm going to go back to that guy, Jonathan Kahn, right? You see all these Christians clapping their hands at this guy on TBN or whatever. And he's talking about, he just is able to dupe them so easily. And he sits and he says things like, you know, God is like our possession. And he's like shaking his hands out. You know, these Christians don't even notice this. You know, they just, oh, he sounds so great and wonderful. All his prophecies and all these things have nothing to do with the Bible because they don't read the Bible. That's where Christianity is right now.
Excuse me, William, is he the guy that talks about... I'm sorry, Paul. I wanted to know, is he the guy that talks about the Shemitah? That same person? That's who I associated. I wanted to know if I had the right person in my...
He looks like a Muppet. He's got curly brown hair.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's short.
Sounds like him. Yeah. Yeah.
What were you going to say, Paul?
Yeah. Sorry.
Paul, were you going to add something?
Yeah. I think he said, you know, that they don't even read the Bible. I don't know whether he was talking about the Jews or the Christians, but I was going to say the problem is neither do the Christians. That's the problem. That's why they're so vulnerable to Jewish infiltration. They don't actually read their Bibles.
No, that's very true.
Yeah, that's what I meant, Paul.
Yeah, we have the first
Christian. Listen to this guy, this rabbi.
Good discussion. Great discussion. We already have the first break. Time's flying. We'll be right back, folks. Keeps on pushing me around, but I'll stand my ground. And I won't back down.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumer's house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
This is today's Liberty Minute. Both sides of the political aisle agree our nation needs criminal justice reform. We may disagree on what that looks like, but one idea made news headlines yesterday. The Tennessee legislature passed a bill on Wednesday that would require drunk drivers to pay child support. The legislation, which has yet to be signed into law, requires DUI drivers convicted of either vehicular homicide or aggravated vehicular homicide due to intoxication to pay child support if the parent killed in the crash has any minor children. This may be one of the most appropriate punishments the government has ever handed out. Criminal justice reform needs more ideas like this. Ideas that benefit society and or pay restitutions to victims. Find more political news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Civis Pacem, Parabellum.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative. Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey here for our Friday roundtable. We have Paul Edward Stevenson, William Repillum, and Stephen Douglas Whitener. And we have some callers on the line, actually. Let's go to Charlie in Florida. Hello, Charlie. Hey, thanks for calling today. How are you doing? What's on your mind?
Oh, I'm doing good. Thanks. It's good to talk to you guys again. Can you hold on? I'm going to take it off speakerphone.
Sure. No problem. Yeah.
Okay, there. Sometimes it makes an echo when I'm on speaker. I'm glad. I almost kind of want to tie all this stuff together there for you guys, because you guys are all hitting the target, but in, like, different angles, okay? Let's look at Elon Musk, George Soros, World Economic Forum, and so forth and so on. Elon Musk is definitely not a good guy, okay? There's a picture out there somewhere where he makes a comment about a woman who's flashing the devil sign, you know, the horns. and he made the comment, good sign, okay, that he liked that sign. His mother was a theosophist, and he's basically an occultist, okay? And I believe that he probably gets his money, all his money has come up from the George Soros's, Klaus Schwab's, all those occultists. They're all occultists, you know, and they're all Satanists. And they're Jews that claim they're Jews and they're not, but they are the synagogue of Satan, if you follow what I'm saying. His app, the way he's going to be able to afford all this is that he's going to create an app for Google or for the for Twitter, and he's going to make it to where everybody has to pay for Twitter, okay? But it's only going to be a small amount, like he says. It's going to be a small amount, very insignificant. You won't even notice it, you know? But he's going to, when you multiply it out worldwide, yeah, it's going to be a lot. But with that app, he's going to add in other things, as from what I understand him saying, such as cashless society, being able to track and wherever you go, you know, and we're looking at all this kind of stuff that he's going to institute and bring in. And so it ties in with the World Economics Forum saying you're going to own nothing and you're going to be happy kind of thing. You know, we're going to be able to track you wherever you go. And that Elon Musk is probably, I think his money came from those dark forces that are down in there because they're all occultists. Now, you know, I know I'm not wrong about him being an occultist. Okay, I know that for a fact. I know he's heavily into the occult.
You said his mother's a theosophist, yeah?
Yeah, his mother was a theosophist, and he's a theosophist. But they're all, theosophy at the heart of it is Masonic, okay?
Yeah.
Bottom line. A matter of fact, his name...
Alice Bailey and Elena Blavatsky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. A matter of fact, his name, Elon, comes from, I believe it's the... was supposedly, according to the, I think it's the secret tradition that you just mentioned, Blavatsky, was supposedly the first incarnation of Christ during the Atlantean Age. I mean, you know, it's kind of out there kind of stuff. But his name was Elon. So it looks like Elon Musk's name is derived from that theosophical name that his mother gave him, you know, from Blavatsky's book. And so he's I don't know if he thinks or he believes that he's the second coming, you know, or what. But the guy, I don't think his head's screwed on right. We know that. But he's definitely tied to a cult. And that app that he got, that he wants to put into Twitter is, like I said, it's going to fund itself, so he's going to be able to afford it, but he wants it to go worldwide, you know, and everything so that we can track you. Okay, so he's working, I think, probably with that Economic Forum stuff. Now, Jonathan Cahn is the Shemitah guy you were talking about. He is. He's the Shemitah guy. He's the one that was talking about the, what was it, the Red Moon or whatever that thing was that they were talking about?
Mm, yeah.
And all that kind of stuff, and talking about that. Yeah, he's that guy. So
okay,
that's kind of like all I wanted to add in there, but I just wanted to bring it. Kind of seems like everybody's hitting at the target, you know. But I think that we're kind of tying all this into. If we tie it together, we can see a little deeper what's going on. I think what we're looking at is Masonic takeover of the world. You know. Excuse my French. I'm not a Mason, and my grandfather was, you know, and so I have nothing against the average Mason, because I don't think most of them know what their inner circles are doing. But yeah, there it is.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, I was trying to red pill a Mason.
We're actually at the break. We're actually at the break. If you could hold that thought, William. Thank you for your call, okay, Charlie.
That was a great call.
Real news, real talk. Real people, because you can handle the truth. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative, Republic Broadcasting. And, of course, this is the roundtable, the Friday roundtable. We have Paul Edward Stevenson, Stephen Douglas Whitener, and William Repillum. We just had a call from Charlie in Florida. And, William, you wanted to respond to Charlie's call.
Yeah, I really appreciated the information he shared with us there. It made me think about... I've often thought about when I see Elon Musk. You ever seen in the Terminator where Arnold Schwarzenegger, the first one, we start peeling his face off in the mirror, and he's like head's contorting and stuff. When I see Elon Musk, somehow I associate it with that. he just seems there's something kind of not human about him. This is me taking another angle on Elon Musk, and I'm glad he called because it kind of pivoted my thought process about him. It's good to know that. I didn't know about his occult ties. Have to look into that a little bit more. And to Halema Blavatsky, who I think was closely tied with Aleister Crowley on the early when this occultist stuff started to happen. I think it was last century. It was like the 1800s or something, right? I don't remember exactly, but a lot of ties into the Masonic. A lot of the Ozzy Osbourne sang a song, Mr. Crowley, about him. I don't know. So anyway, but yeah, I just thought that was good insight there.
Mm-hmm. And Stephen?
Yeah, I really appreciated the call too. I think that Crowley was still active during the First World War and was doing magic as the part of the war effort. I've read that somewhere. It's just a Order of the Golden Dawn, I believe, was one of the organizations these people were a part of, and it's satanic, just like he said. And I did not think of Elon Musk in the Terminator there, but now that you know, now that you brought that image up, and I can picture what he looks like. That yeah, I can see what you're saying there. He did say on a podcast, what I think the Joe Rogan podcast, somebody told me that he said he wasn't human while he was on there. I don't know. I didn't see it, but I just remember someone saying that, and I don't know what he meant by that, you know, but yeah, he was probably, I think, yeah.
Obviously he's a reptilian, Steven.
Yeah, okay. I did see a tweet that he responded to someone when they were discussing all of the, you know, he said some things that alluded to Jewish power, like it said very shadowy with the last tweet. He said, who is the one behind all this deplatforming and I forgot I don't have the whole tweet in front of me, but he called them very shadowy. And, you know, he said, who is that? And he at least alludes, you know.
Paul?
Yeah, it's interesting because I didn't know, you know, there's Theosophical Society connections there. But if that's true, and I might be wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure that Nikolai Tesla was involved with Aleister Crowley or the Theosophical Society in some way. So that would also tie in, considering that his car is called Tesla. But I don't know for sure. It's just, as far as I remember, Nikolai Tesla was involved with occult stuff as well.
Well, he certainly seemed to want free energy for all, and mm-hmm. you know, certainly went against the elite and their engineered scarcity of resources and fuel. So, yeah, occult or not, though, I would have to at least cite Nikolai Tesla as being one of the good guys in my analyses. But we have another caller. Let's go to Pat. Pat in Texas. Hello, Pat. Hey, how you doing this Friday, ma'am?
Hi, Richard and people. I won't go through all of my name. Well, I just wanted to say that Elon Musk, if he buys Twitter, he charges people fine with me because they banned President Trump as a politician, I guess, but they let Vito, the 100% Irish guy who paints his face brown, but he forgets his lily white hands and tries to pretend he's Mexican so he can get all the Democrat votes. At one time, when he was running for president or whatever he runs for, I don't know what he does with all that money. But anyway, he's on Twitter nonstop. But I bet you anything that Greg Abbott's probably not on Twitter. He's probably bad.
So Greg Abbott?
Mm-hmm. I don't care what he charges, as long as a politician can get on there, just one that Twitter likes or whatever. But yeah, I wouldn't say that. Plus, I got God TV on my Android here, so I don't know what's God and what's the fact I'm subscribed to him, because I subscribe to Jonathan because he's, like a lot of people in RBS, a musician. And he was raised Jewish, completely Jewish. And he has a Jewish face, but I don't know, he mocked people. I'm not sure. I don't think Jesus looked as good as all the pictures that they paint of me. But the point is that he almost got killed by a train, and he gave up. He gave up to God, and everybody knows it because they know he's hearing God, and K-A-H-N. I think it's K-A-H-N. Other Jewish people, I don't see one thing wrong with telling me what something means in Jewish. They know the Jewish language, the Old Testament. They can, they're ahead of us, really. They can actually tell you where we got a custom from. Yeah. And I appreciate Jonathan Cahn a lot. He is a Christian leader, and a lot of them. I got Amanda Grace going on there. She's a prophetess. They tell things. There's no way that they know it is bad. And sometimes they don't even understand what they
do. Could I ask you a question, Pat? Do you know when he set a date for the Jubilee, what hasn't that already passed? I do. When I had heard his name before and talked about the Shemitah, you know, that's all I remember about him. But that's why I noticed his name. Do you know what he says about his date being passed and it didn't happen? Has he responded to that?
No, I don't. I just know how he puts things together and that happened and then goes back. Bible and shows. See, look, anytime a prophecy is made, it's not so you'll totally get ready for it. It's so you'll change and it won't have to happen.
Well, yeah. I heard him set a specific date. You know, he profited off people, you know, counting on that. I'm sorry, I don't trust the guy at all. But you're welcome to follow who you like, Pat. That's fine.
Well, yeah, we want all the opinions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we want all the opinions to be heard. So, no, well, thanks for your comments, your points today.
And look at him and make your own decisions. I'm tired of telling me what somebody meant. And I know if I don't know. Go ahead.
Well, we don't need a consensus at RBN on any topic. We can have multiple opinions. What were you going to say, ma'am, before I go to the next caller? You wanted to add something?
Well, there's a lot of prophecies that if they're about, a lot of people think we're near the end. Well, if we are, we really better get ready for it because, you know, you don't get to come back. I don't care what anybody thinks about reincarnation. You get one chance. That's all. Yes. The Bible says one death, one burial, and one resurrection. So that's all there is. So anyway, if they're right, we need to pay attention, but like I've told other people, we don't really quit, you know, go sit on a hill and wait for something to happen. You just keep on going as if people will repent and we'll get another 500 years, whatever, you know, mm-hmm. or whatever. And so mm-hmm.
okay.
I just suggest people, when they say they don't like somebody, to look at what's going on, because I don't care if Elon Musk buys Twitter, if he gets those crappy politicians off and raise all their money from LGBTs, come in my neighborhood with their shirts on and I run them off.
Hispanic. All right. Well, thank you. All. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you. Right. Bye-bye.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Well, we have another call from Hunter Biden's laptop. Wow, AI.
Wow, I bet Hunter Biden's laptop's what's really running the country right now. It's probably who's above Joe.
All right, well, hello, wow. Hunter Biden's laptop. Hello, what do you have to add to the conversation?
Well, I just wanted the panel and the audience to know that Hunter Biden's laptop has some very compromising images of Elon Musk and, shall we say, next of kin. So we'll leave it at that. Did I just hear Pat say... We don't have any more than just one chance. This is one chance. This is all we get. I'm telling you, I am really depressed right now. So, you know, the one thing that I wanted to add to the conversation, which I was enjoying in the very first half hour with the talk of Elon Musk, was two contributions. The first one from William, where I don't know, maybe I don't get around the internet enough, but I had not heard that particular way of phrasing it before, when he said that national security is just a way to you know, protect the Jews or to prevent the Jews from being revealed. I thought that was great. I don't know if you got that from somewhere else, but I'm going to.
No, I kind of just surmised it, Paul.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, it's actually quite succinct and borderline brilliant. I mean, really, when you get right down to it, I mean, besides say protecting a military secret or two, that is it. Okay, that's what national security is. The other one was Stephen's reference to a great film, what I would call a period or a piece or a cult, Rollerball. If you haven't seen Rollerball in a while, put it on and fire one up, because it's a great movie. I saw it when I think I was 18 years old in the theater with a friend of mine. And, you know, you go to movies back then when you're younger, you don't know what you're going to expect. And we both came out of there. It was like, wow, that was a great movie. So nice reference to Rollerball there, Stephen.
What do you think of the analogy of Elon being like the James Caan character in there rising up, and that if he got too big, they would cut his legs out from under him?
Because of what I believe I know about Elon, I would give a thumbs down to that analogy. But, you know, a good try. Okay. If any of you all have not seen this guy by the name of Greg Reese, so he does this Reese report out of Alex Jones InfoWars, and he's done a piece on Elon Musk. I've seen it twice. Now, I had a background going into that because I read Miles Mathis' PDF on Elon Musk probably a couple years ago now. So I would recommend either one of those. Just go to mileswmathis.com. I can send Richard the info, and he can provide it to you guys. And you just go to updates, and you look for his PDF on Elon Musk. And he's basically a front man or a fraud. All we're really looking at, for the most part, if we see somebody out there that the media is covering or promoting, we can be pretty sure that they're just the actor. And there's a whole stage production company. This is the way that I like to phrase it.
Hunter Biden's laptop. What do you have to say about the World Economic Forum speaker, Rabbi Yuval Noah Harari?
I think that we need to put him in charge of national security. He sounds like he really knows what's going on. And I think we could go ahead and just have, say, Henry Kissinger take over Twitter, and we're going to be in good shape. What do you all guys think?
Brilliant.
Might as well, right? It's probably where it's going anyway. Elon Musk is that, you know, this whole thing we're up against is a Masonic system, right? So Elon Musk is just the sort of player being put in there that it's like a pivot, like, I don't know, like some kind of chess piece that they're using, some sort of like wild card or whatever. Here, let's throw this over here. Meanwhile, like, everybody on RBN will talk about it for half the show, and then they'll keep working on their digital currency or whatever else they want to do and keep us distracted. You know, I don't know. I mean, it's probably worth talking about it. But yeah.
when you see, and I highly, highly encourage you to do so, when you see Greg Reese's report on Elon Musk, it will open your eyes to basically the fact that he's a fraud. Okay, which is exactly what Miles Mathis basically said. He's a fraud and a front man. And Greg Reese covers in there the fact that, you know, he didn't really start PayPal. He didn't really start Tesla. And this whole SpaceX thing is just a gigantic, you know, money laundering, money stealing joint venture with NASA, and a lot of what he's already done there as a fraud. I mean, for God's sake, you know, the rocket landing in reverse, if you guys haven't seen that, I mean, it's absurd. Or the Tesla Roadster that he supposedly put up in space, where Elon Musk actually said, hey, it's so fake looking, it's got to be real. I mean, this guy, Elon Musk, believe me, is mostly just, you know, there for our distraction and our entertainment. So you can't take anything that he says or does seriously. And similar to Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos supposedly started Amazon. I mean, we might as well appoint Jeff Bezos as the head of the Antitrust Commission. I mean, this is exactly the world that we're living in, and they're not shy about letting us know.
That's true.
Yep.
Mr. Stevenson,
that was my little contribution. I enjoyed the panel today, and I'll let the next caller come on if there is one.
Hunter Biden's laptop.
You could stick around if you want. I mean, yeah, we don't have another caller in the queue at the moment. And I just wanted to see overseas if our Irishman, Mr. Stevenson, had any response to Hunter Biden's laptop's comments.
Yeah, he's probably on the money. As I say, I'm not an authority on the guy. You know, I don't really spend that much time. I'm just sort of aware of him, but I've never really given him that much thought. You know, so I've learned some things here today to think about him. Yeah.
Stephen, William, Paul, or
yeah,
Hunter Biden's laptop.
Yeah.
You know, I will say this just for the fun of it. I think I may have mentioned this to you before, Richard, but I had never really thought about or looked that much into Hunter Biden's laptop. I just viewed it as so many other political scandals that I wasn't really interested in. But there are a couple of websites, I believe, at least a couple that are dedicated to the content of his laptop, complete with images. And I went to one of these because I clicked on a link. You know, basically, it was a story about, you know, that and some other things. And then there was a link that said, click here to see the contents of Hunter Biden's laptop. So who could resist that, right? And I got to tell you something, right? You talk about the most shocking scandal that you could ever conceive of. And there it is. And we all know nothing's going to happen to Hunter Biden or Joe Biden. But, I mean, literally, it's crazy. This guy's got, I mean, his cousin and his niece and his dead brother's wife and his dead brother's daughter. And I think it's Malik Obama. I mean, it's like there's just no boundaries. And when you see, I mean, the images and some of them are pixelated out and so forth. But it's clear, you know, who they are.
And, it almost is like it's almost like he's aware of how corrupt and full of it his father's been his whole political career, and this is the way of lashing out, just being as much of just pure debauchery on earth as possible.
Yeah. Could be.
That's a good analogy. I had not really thought about that, but oh my God, it's just like there's no like I said, there's no boundaries. Literally, I mean, he's on camera. It's not like, for example, he just did it. And, you know, nobody said anything. Let's keep this between ourselves. No, I mean, he insisted on filming it. So it's like, wow.
Well, I think he's angry as well. I think he's angry at his father. I don't know where I heard it. Because his father was getting a cut off his money. So I don't know where I heard the clip. So you never know. Maybe he's, you know, either consciously or unconsciously trying to throw his father under the bus. You know, not that his father would know that he's going to be thrown under the bus, or that he doesn't really know anything else. So I mean,
right. But, well, let me pose this question to you, Paul, just for the fun of it. And I think you all know where I'm going with this. Let's say that, you know, all of you, we've all probably been angry at one point or another with people in our lives, maybe including our parents or our father, right? So would you ever even consider such things that, I mean, for God's sake, your brother, your own brother has died, and now you're going to get with his wife, his widow, and the daughter? I mean, who does that? He's got to be just like demon spawn scum. And
right, yeah.
Is the son of our current president.
Yeah, it seems almost
are scumbags. That's why they're in the position.
But he could be lashing out. Really, he could be lashing out as far as just knowing how evil everything in power, you know, in empire is.
But you know, you know, a lot of those children though who are brought up in those families and stuff, they don't know any better. They're brought up and they are very creepy, satanic, dark kind of families. They're exposed to all sorts of stuff when they're children.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, you can't have any values or morals yourself to do all those things, no matter how much you're angry with, you know, your father for what he's done. It's kind of, ironic.
It's one thing we all.
Well, listen.
Go ahead.
It looks like we do have one last caller who tried to jump in.
Okay. I'll shut up.
Okay, Rick in Arizona. Hello, Rick. Hey, what did you want to add? Thanks for calling.
Yeah, good morning. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Yeah, as far as Elon Musk goes, you know, Henry Ford didn't become the richest man in the world, you know, messing around with the car industry. And we all pretty much know that a good chunk of the space program is a fraud. I mean, Elon says he's going to go to Mars. I was wondering if he was going to, what was he going to use for air? And is he going to have a tow vehicle full of water? I think Paul is right. This guy's a front, and he's like a modern-day Donald Trump. If you dig into Elon Musk, I'm just guessing that there's international mafia money behind Elon Musk. Because once people figure out that they're going to be throwing punches at these charging stations for, you know, time to charge up their cars, car sales are going to crash. You know, so everything about this doesn't make sense. Electric cars versus, they just did a deal, 13 stops from New York to Florida, 13 stops to charge for 25 minutes a pop. Well, those people who can afford to buy these cars, they can just fly to Miami. And when those people are done buying the cars, you know, Elon Musk, I promise you, Paul is right. This guy's a front. It's going to be hard to dig him up and what's really going on with him. But beware of the crash of Tesla. Thanks for taking the call.
And we have one more caller, Nancy in California. Hello, Nancy. Hey, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, I'm just going to say really fast, because I've heard Pat from Texas call before, and she's mentioned the Jews more than once. And I decided to respond to her position, and that is when she kind of chides people who criticize them, all I would say is that what was the result of Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him? Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Christ, it was said that it would be better that he had not been born. So, and he didn't put Christ to death. He betrayed him. Those who put Christ to death, and I believe the Bible is accurate, when Caiaphas said, "Let his blood be upon us and our children," they were pretty proud of what they did. So, if he wants to dispute the Bible,
absolutely,
he can dispute
that's
the Bible.
Right.
Me?
Well, you see, the problem with Pat is Pat's she's kind of hopelessly Judaized, you know, and she sounds like she's from a generation where she's had her head and, you know, been brainwashed by. I mean, if I got her right, she basically made my point earlier that Christians don't read their Bibles, and then you got this rabbi coming in who sort of seduces them that he's an expert in Hebrew, and then he tells them what to think. I mean, you know. It's she's kind of, she's a bit nice old lady and all that, but she's probably been going to these Zionist churches for decades, you know.
Well,
yeah, I was
so
a bit thrown off
when
by
it
Pat,
when it comes to, can I say one more thing real quick? Because I see that we're almost out of time. When it comes to Israel, who is Israel? They usurped that name. Israel was all 12 tribes, not just one little tribe.
And okay. Thank you. No, very good points, Nancy. Right. William Rapillum. William, you had one last point?
Yeah, that's right. Israel is the body of Christ. Nothing to do with these synagogue of Satan people who usurp the name. I was very confused by Pat calling in. She seems pretty red-pilled on the Jews, but today she's promoting Jonathan Cahn. Really surprising. Jonathan Cahn, I mean, just watch him for 45 minutes, you can see all kinds of the heresies that he's committing and the things he says. So it's, you know...
Thank you so much to the entire panel, to all the callers, including Nancy. Nancy, good points. And we will speak again soon. Have a great weekend, everyone. Please support RBN to continue all this uncensored content. Stick around for Patrick Slattery, and we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.